The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Networking and the job search is really more about people than the process. People have made it about the process because they can wrap their head around it. And whenever we do that, basically our brain automatically looks for the first shortcut that we could possibly get. But that's not always the best answer, and that's not always the best way to go about it. But those industry organizations make a huge difference in getting familiar. It's not the quick hit that we hope to get, but it is the long tail benefit that will serve your career for a long time, rather than, you know, asking people, can you give me a job, or you got a job lead. Connect with people first, care about the person, and then eventually you'll learn a lot more than you think by just watching even for a while before even saying something.
Welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, brought to you by Career Pivot. This podcast is where those of us in the second half of life come together to discuss how to repurpose our careers for the 21st century. Come listen to career experts give you proven strategies. Listen to people like you tell their stories on how they repurpose their careers. And finally, get your questions answered. Your host, Mark Miller, has made 6 career pivots over the last 30 years. He understands this is not about jumping out of the frying pan into a fire, but rather to create a plan where you make clear, actionable steps or pivots to a better future career. Are you ready to repurpose your career?
Welcome to episode 103 of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. My name is Mark Miller, and I'll be your host every Monday for a discussion on what it's like to repurpose your career. CareerPivot.com brings this podcast to you. CareerPivot.com is one of the very few websites dedicated to those of us in the second half of life and our careers. Take a moment to check out the blog and the other resources that are delivered to you free of charge. If you're enjoying this podcast, please share it with other like-minded souls. Subscribe on CareerPivot.com, iTunes, or any of the other apps that supply podcasts. This includes Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, TuneIn, Spotify, and Stitcher. Share it on social media or just tell your neighbors and colleagues. I am launching the 2018 Repurpose Your Career Podcast Survey. In order for me to improve the show, I need to know something about you. How you listen to the show? Do you read the show notes? What kinds of episodes are your favorite? If you would be so kind, go to careerpivot.com/podcast survey or careerpivot.com/podcast survey, and you'll be redirected to a SurveyMonkey page where you can take the survey. I will publish the results in a couple of months. Let me say thank you in advance for doing this. Next week, we will be announcing the next edition of Repurpose Your Career with a planned release date. We're saying first half of 2019 is probably March, April. Susan Leahy and I have started working on the next edition, and I'll be looking for your help. I will be forming a release team of readers who will get access to pre-release chapters of the book to provide feedback. Look for an announcement next week on how to sign up to be part of the release team. I will also be reading the opening chapter of the next edition in next week's episode. This week, I am answering listener questions along with my trusty sidekick, Mark Anthony Dyson. I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, welcome to the Repurpose Your Career podcast, and this is our semi-monthly, kind of monthly, or every other month, or however often we want to do it, Q&A session. And I am on here with my sidekick, the world-famous Mark Anthony Dyson.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing fine. You are world famous, right?
You know, I'm working on it. It's a work in progress.
Well, it's interesting. For those, I am back in Austin, Texas. Mark is in Chicago, and I'm here for about 4 or 5 weeks. Actually, we were here for a total of 6 weeks before we head back to Mexico. And the 4 months we were in Mexico, believe it or not, I received 4 books from publishers. Mm. And I went, why are you sending me books? Oh, I must be respected of some kind, and they think I'm an authority of something.
Mm.
Really?
That's funny, because I just got I got a couple of books in the mail myself.
See? You're an authority. You didn't even know it.
Well, I don't know about all that. but I actually got a couple of interesting books. One is called Taking the Work Out of Networking. Probably by the time that this will be released a little bit before you release this episode, but this will be released after that.
Okay.
And then I don't know if you're familiar with Alexandra Levitt's latest book, Humanity Works.
Oh, cool.
But I just got my copy in the mail today.
Yeah, I just got pinged by Simon & Schuster, and they are sending me, Elizabeth White's 55 Unemployed and Faking Normal, which is due out in January. So hopefully I'll get Elizabeth White on the podcast probably in early January. I don't know if you're familiar, but she's a Harvard graduate and went unemployed, and how it was all about how she managed to keep up the facade that everything was fine. And there were obviously a lot of people like her as we went through the Great Recession and afterwards, who were very highly credentialed, very talented, and couldn't get a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea in today's society is you don't show that. It's too embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we get started with the questions?
Okay.
Why don't you read that first question, and I will go ahead and answer and let you come back.
Okay. All right. Question number one, I've been asked to be interviewed over video. I've never done this before. Can you give me any hints or tips so I can do my best?
Believe it or not, this actually came from a fellow board member of my at my job club. And I wrote a blog post because, by the way, my last corporate gig was teaching people how to use high-definition video conferencing.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you want to do is you want to pick the right room to do it. You would prefer to have carpeting and drapes in the room. Hard surfaces really screw up the audio. If you listen to my podcast of a couple episodes back where I interviewed my wife, and I just did it in the bedroom in our casita in Ajijic, and it is, put it bluntly, the acoustics is not the best because it's very hard concrete walls and tile floors. One of the things you can do is either put some fabric up around you or put a small room divider in that'll kind of soften up the audio. The second thing is make sure you have light on your face. An easy way of doing this is go get some inexpensive desk lamps and install full spectrum light bulbs.
Uh-huh.
I have a professional lighting kit. And by the way, that cost me $140, but those are full spectrum LEDs. But you can do this for $15.
Uh-huh.
The third thing is, make sure you're using a microphone and headphones. The audio is more important than anything else. One of the things I used to teach people when they would be demoing high-definition video was the audio was more important than the video.
Yes.
People, and the way I would explain it is, you're listening to the national championship game and put your favorite team in there. I would put the University of Texas Longhorns. And if you watch on TV and there's a little static, you'll put up with it. If you listen to on the radio and it's staticky, you turn it off.
Right.
The last thing I want you to consider is the clothing. Stay away from lots of patterns. Two, I want you to do this standing up, which means don't have squeaky shoes on. If you can, do it in your bare feet or flip-flops. What I also recommend is if you can get a gel pad, because you'll probably stand better.
Mm-hmm.
And keep the camera, the top of the camera should be about the top of your forehead. And one little trick, my Kathy Lansford, the woman who runs my job club, she said what she does is she puts a little picture right above the camera.
Okay.
So you're looking at the picture, and that gets you to look at the camera. So hopefully, and so none of this is hard, but by the way, you need to go practice it.
Right.
Go get some friends and get on Skype or Zoom or whatever you want to use and go practice it. So what do you think of all that?
All of that's great advice. I think the advice about standing really highlights more, whether you're standing or sitting, the energy is really, really crucial to impress. The energy also makes a difference between, you don't want to be boring. Even if it's a video, it's a video interview, more than likely the person that's going to be interviewing you won't be as enthusiastic. In fact, you could probably expect some of them to muddle through. The people I know that I've done, and the one or two that I've coached, said the person was really apprehensive about doing video themselves. So you got two people who really don't want to do video, but you're the one being judged. So the energy makes all the difference in the world. If I think the practice is important, doing the Skype interview portion of it, I would say even Skype with somebody that you don't know as well, but who's willing to ask you some questions over the on Skype. So that way we just respond differently to people who we don't know. And more than likely, the person that's interviewing, we won't know. Making those assumptions will help you prepare. But all of your suggestions are very valid, and I wouldn't say I can't add too much more than that.
Well, one of the things I always recommend when you do phone interviews that you always do it standing up. And there are two reasons. One is I want you to be able to talk with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, I've got a little bit of Italian in me, so, you know, I got to talk with my hands. But also, when you're standing, it opens up the diaphragm.
Yeah.
Right? And you will have more pop to your voice when you're standing, and you'll have more energy.
And that's considering if you're in a household where there isn't a lot of noise, because you may have to go find a closet or a smaller place where you may not be able to stand, but your point is well taken that standing gives you the best projection of your voice and probably would be much more, it sounds better overall.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that because I'm in my closet recording this.
Yeah.
And obviously we've turned off the video because my video in my closet is not very good.
Right.
Because the lighting in my closet isn't very good.
Yeah. Video takes up a lot of bandwidth, but really the employer wants to see you and the eye-to-eye contact is very important. And that's how they'll get to know you. I would even add one more little thing is have some personality. Have some personality when you do these interviews. I mean, you're not being interrogated by camera. Big Brother's not watching you at that moment. This is time to impress. And this is probably going to be in the earlier stages of the interview process rather than later, unless you're doing a remote interview and for a remote job, then that would be a little bit different. But in many cases, the video interview is going to be the first place where you're going to be vetted on the lower end. You're the lower hanging fruit being seen. They probably interviewed a number of people with video, and they want to see who's going to make it to the second or maybe the third round. But those would be my expectations. But that's the kind of expense you want to have in projecting yourself.
Cool. So let's move on to question number two. I would like your advice about my current job. I received an unacceptable feedback from HR and my contract will be terminated by the end of October rather than April or May. Although the workplace is toxic, I want to leave and not sign a new contract again. Your feedback is appreciated.
Yes, this came to me via LinkedIn messaging. And this was an older gentleman. And I had to kind of decipher and also ask additional questions. So there was a fair amount of back and forth. And I don't mean to make it sound as simple. But I have two points to make, two major points. But one of them, basically, I helped him to define the job he wants, what company he wants to do it with. Basically, what do you want to do, where you want to do it with? And basically, if you can answer those completely, then those kind of things will accelerate your goals. Then work to get a referral from someone that works in the company that you want to work with and who can possibly lead you to an interview with the right person. I asked for that person to also let me know how that goes. Now, this was not a coaching client. Imagine that, getting some help and not a client, right?
That's right.
But it only took me, after kind of an exchange, it really only took me 2 minutes to give that advice. And I say that to say this. One thing is, and by the way, the gentleman got to interview for a few days later. He has an interview coming up tomorrow for his passion, which is what he was as a software engineer position. That's his passion. And he got an interview. He was very excited, sent me a response, and will let me know how it went. So after that is, having said that, it took me 2 minutes to think about that. I look at all the activity online many times, and I look at some people who call themselves coaches and consultants and things like that. And they make such a big ordeal about giving really simple advice, supposedly from people who are in their community. And this might be a slight tangent, but very often, you're right with the right person, with the right coach, if you can get a direct answer back, that there isn't this haggling of, counting minutes per time per dollar. I mean, that's my opinion. I know you approach it almost in the same way. If you can give a simple answer, you do. But sometimes we just make a big ordeal about it. And I think, that's why people come to you, Mark, is that people can get a straightforward answer. And I am going on a small little rant, but sometimes it makes me mad that people would say, have people in their community, have all these people in the community, all these clients, and people will ask them an open question and they can't give them feedback openly. Yeah. They say, well, let's set up some time. For what? For a 2 minute answer? For real? So having said that, I think sometimes people can find very quick answers with the right people.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I had a woman contact me this last week who said, I have an illness. Turns out she has a form of cancer that's being treated and she has no idea, but she's able to do her job. She wants to leave her job. She says, mm-hmm. Should I tell the next employer during the interview process that I have this condition? And I said, well, can you do the job while you're being treated? She said, yes, heck yes. Then until you have a job offer, you don't tell them.
Right.
Then once you have the job offer, you tell them, I can do this job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to affect it. Now, right. could they pull the offer? The answer, maybe. Mm-hmm. But you know, by the way, it took a 10-minute phone call with her and we got that resolved. And am I going to charge her for it? Heck no.
Right, right. It was $0 and this guy got an interview. That's all he wanted was just to have his shot.
Yep.
And I guess having to say that, sometimes our answers are simpler than we need to try to make it simple for people as coaches and consultants or whatever we call ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't need to put people now. If people are stuck and they required a deeper dive, then we can start the process. But sometimes people, all they want is just one answer, something really simple. This guy was straightforward for the most part. I just need to find out some of the ins and outs, but it didn't take me any time to give him an answer. So all that to say is, for a lot of people listening, don't be afraid to ask questions of the right people.
That's right.
Because the right people will give you the answers that are very straightforward and even will give you maybe some how-tos in between.
Well, the interesting one is a lot of these questions is this is where my blog posts come from. Mm-hmm. Like the next question. Mm-hmm. Why don't you go ahead and read the next one?
Sure. I recently passed the PMP exam and I'm a certified project manager. How can I leverage this new certification?
Yeah, this actually came from one of the folks in my online community. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've been promoting, and we're recording this on Monday. This will get released next Monday. I don't know, November 3rd or whatever. And so I said, well, this will make a good blog post. And so we'll put the link in there. One of the things that I find people don't take advantage of is when they update their LinkedIn profile, mm-hmm. and you're going to put something in there that you want people to see. So turn on your broadcast settings, make the update, then you're going to get people who are suddenly going to go, hey, congratulations. Always have a stock response that you're going to customize for everybody, but a stock response that says, yeah, thank you for this, that, and the other thing. And by the way, here's what you can do for me. In this case, what I recommended was, hey, I'm looking for a job. I'm unemployed. I just got my PMP. Do you got 15 minutes for a short phone call so I can get some advice from you? And I even put a link. I happen to use Schedule once. And I said, I have no relationship with them, but I really love where you can just simply go in and schedule on my calendar. Mm-hmm. It makes it easy.
Sure.
I put in when I had 1 year on this podcast, I finally put it on my LinkedIn profile. So when people congratulated me on having my podcast, I immediately pointed them at iTunes and says, why don't you listen to it? And how about giving me an iTunes review? Mm-hmm. I got a spike of downloads that next week because I got people to actually listen to one episode. And the whole idea is when you update your LinkedIn profile, put the PMP in there, you want people to notice.
Sure.
And then and when people notice, a few may be able to help you. And one of the things I learned a long time ago is, if you don't ask, you usually don't get.
You don't get, yes. Right on.
So, right on. And I know there are other ways to leverage the certification, which I thought I'd leave up to you, Mark. But the first thing is to get the recognition that people say, oh, they have their PMP now.
Many times when you get a new certification or a new degree, you want to be a part of their association or the industry or the trade membership association, whatever that organization is called. And you want to be in tune with, get the newsletter, be part, and then to participate so that you can start to be, show yourself as being familiar, because people don't like people who just sit on sidelines and just try to scoop up the benefits. They like people who are also contributing. So if you're known as a contributor right off the bat, then you should be able to get to know a lot of people fast. And because really networking and the job search is really more about people than the process. People have made it about the process because they can wrap their head around it. And whenever we do that, basically our brain automatically looks for the first shortcut that we could possibly get. But that's not always the best answer, and that's not always the best way to go about it. But those industry organizations make a huge difference in getting familiar. It's not the quick hit that we hope to get, but it is the long tail benefit that will serve your career for a long time, rather than, you know, asking people, can you give me a job, or you got a job lead. Connect with people first, care about the person, and then eventually that will help you. You'll learn a lot more than you think by just watching even for a while before even saying something.
You bring up one really good point there, and that is it is about the relationship and not the process. Mm-hmm. Particularly when we reach our age, and you know, as I said, I'm over over 60.
Yeah.
It's my next, if I went and got a job right now, it would be through a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not because I'm going to apply for a job. It's because someone knows who I am. And that's true with almost all of us. Yeah. It's focus on the relationships, and it's interesting. I've had several comments in my online community about the process. I say focus on the relationships. The challenge is you have no control over the timing. You don't know when jobs will open up.
Right.
Yes. So all you can do is keep on building the relationships. And in this case, getting a PMP, she needs to go to, you know, the PMI, the Project Management Institute, get involved. And that's where the relationships will get built. And then working at it, because a lot of PMs or a lot of project managers are pretty introverted.
Yes. And, you know, to your point, that's why everybody kind of needs to read the Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know what I mean? Because the essence of the book is how to win over people, not how to look for shortcuts. Again, the brain automatically just hones in on what's the shortest route and how can I get there quickly, instead of thinking a long term. Building these relationships over time will lead me to several different points where it will benefit my career as a whole, and I'm bringing other people with me. But, you know, I don't know if people know this, but way back in the 30s and 40s, Dale Carnegie had a radio show. And he had a radio show, people who were guests on the show, who he had a relationship with. And if you can find it, you can actually find some of these shows on Spotify, believe it or not. And you could just look, you could just tell in an instant that he spent a lot of time cultivating relationships, because that's what his large part of his work was.
Yep, it's all about relationships. And just like you and me, this particular podcast episode's all about relationships, because you and I. I appreciate, Mark, you being on this podcast episode with me.
Sure.
And once again, we'll do this probably in 4 to 6 weeks.
Sounds good to me.
We'll do another episode. So thank you, Mark, for being on the Repurpose Your Career podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. Please pick up a copy of Repurpose Your Career, a practical guide for the second half of life, at Amazon.com or any of the other fine online retailers. When you complete reading the book, I'd very much appreciate if you would write an honest review on Amazon.com. The audio version of this book is available on iTunes, Audible, and Amazon. As I stated at the beginning of the podcast episode, I'm launching the 2018 Repurpose Your Career Podcast Survey. In order for me to improve the show, I need to know something about you, how you listen to the show, do you read the show notes, what kind of episodes are your favorite. if you would be so kind to go to careerpivot.com/podcast survey or careerpivot.com/podcast survey, you will be redirected to a SurveyMonkey page where you can take the survey. I will publish the results in a couple of months. The Career Pivot Community website has become a valuable resource for the almost 50 members who are participating in the beta phase of this project. I am now soliciting members for the next cohort. If you are interested in learning more about the endeavor and would like to be put on the waiting list, please go to careerpivot.com/community. When you sign up, you will receive more information about the community as it evolves. It is those who are in these initial cohorts get to set the direction of this endeavor. This is a paid membership community where I will be offering group coaching, special content, mastermind groups, branding sessions, Slack channels, and more importantly, it will be a community where you can seek help. Please go to careerpivot.com/community to sign up to learn more. Check back next week when we announce the next edition of Repurpose Your Career and read the opening chapter as a preview of the book. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the Repurpose Your Career podcast. You will find all the show notes at careerpivot.com/episode-103. Please hop over to careerpivot.com and subscribe to get updates on this podcast and all the other happenings at Career Pivot. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podbeam, Overcast, or Spotify. Hope to see you next Monday for another episode of Repurpose Your Career podcast.
It's time to get down to business with $30 a month business internet. WOW Business offers 99.9% network reliability so that you can keep your business moving. $30 a month gets you 30 megabytes per second with 24/7 US-based support, a price lock guarantee, and a 60-day satisfaction guarantee. Lock in our lowest priced offer for the support you need. Go to switchtowellbusiness.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement subject to change. Prices do not include taxes, fees, and equipment charges. Restrictions apply.